Thank you, Miss Rachel. Good morning, everybody. What a fine, good-looking group of people we have here. I've never seen a more beautiful people in my life. I say that to encourage you to sing for us. Number 92, we're going to start with. We see some visitors, and we're glad to have you with us, and we want you to take part, and you are our honored and special guest today. Number 92, I'm going that way. Astronomically good. Very good. Let's turn over toward the back now, page 217. We'll do about verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. Not made with hands.
Thank you. Good morning, all. It's good to see everybody out today. We hope everybody's had a good week. It's been a busy week for me, but I hope you've had a really good week, and it's good to see faces back with us today. It's been, I guess you'd say, on vacation or on trips, and we're glad that they are able to be back. I'm glad the Lord kept you safe. We took a short trip this week, and I was thankful when we got home that the Lord kept us safe. We was able to make it home. And I'm just thankful that you are here today. Glad to have our visitors with us. Some of you are the first time that you've been with us. Maybe some of you it's the second time. But we are glad that you're in the house of the Lord today. We are glad that you're able to visit with us here at Murfreesboro Church once again. And we just hope and pray that the best visitor of all will come in. That's our Lord. He is our visitor. Actually, it's his home, but many times we do not invite the Lord into our services. So I hope and pray today that you will invite the Lord into the service today, where that we can all come together and just worship the Lord. Last week we was blessed with a really good service, had a lot of testifying. And I made the statement to my son-in-law that probably some of the best testifying I'd heard in a long, long time. And what I mean by that, there was testimonies about being saved. And that's always a wonderful, wonderful thing when people tell about being saved, because it lets the lost know that you've got something that they don't. It verifies what the preaching does, what it says. So we want to continue to follow the Lord and do whatever the Lord puts upon our hearts. We need that here in our church today. We need to forget about the things that are going on out here in the world. I realize that I guess we'll call it drastic measures were taken yesterday. It's something that gets on people's minds, and we forget about God a lot of times, other than the fact, Lord, help us. That's where we start. Lord, help us. But let's get the things of the world out of our minds, and let's worship the Lord today in this service, and let's ask Tim to help us. Now, we want to just get going with our children's church. We'll invite the kids right over here for our children's church this morning. Come on, kids. I need your help this morning. Thank all of y'all for coming. Now, one of our people that comes said, boy, y'all are blessed with young people. And I want you to know, we always look at you as a blessing in our lives. We do. I look at it as a great blessing just to see you each and every Sunday or each and every time that you come into this church building. I do look at that as a blessing. Okay, for our little study today, how many of you remember a man in the Bible by the name of Job? Y'all remember him? Everybody's still asleep, huh? Job was a man in the Bible. And most of the time, because it's way on over in the Bible, we don't really say how old he is. And we don't know when for sure that he came into, he was in the world. But by some of the names that are given in the book of Job, we figure that he is probably even before the time of Abraham, or just right after Abraham, I should say. And so he was a long time ago. But in the story of Job, Job was a good man. Bible called him perfect, not perfect as far as doing sin. He was not like Jesus, being without sin. But he was a perfect and upright man that he followed God's ways to a perfect manner. Do you feel like there's anybody in our church that keeps everything perfect? It's a good question, isn't it? But what Job did was this. even when his children didn't think about the Lord, he was thinking about the Lord on their behalf. And you know what he did? He said, just if they said something wrong, maybe a curse word or something like that, you know what he did? He would make a sacrifice to the Lord on their behalf. You see, that's what we as adults and what your parents are doing today. They're praying for you that you'll live the way God wants you to live. That you'll be maybe as perfect as Job would be. That when you grow older, then you have children your size, that you'll bring them up in the ways of God. That was Job's desire for those kids, that they might live like he was living. You see, what Job was doing in that very day, that he was saying, just in case, I want the Lord to have a sacrifice for their good. You see, when mom and daddy bring you to church, when they come into the church and they sing, or maybe they pray, or maybe they do something else in the church, and you think, well, why are they doing that? They're doing it so that you will have a place to come to church also. That's what they come before, why they're coming and bringing you to church. You know what's the biggest desire each and every one of your parents have? Is that you might be saved. Now, there's one here, I think, two in the bunch, that has been saved already. And I remember the joy on your parents' faces when you got saved. There's been a few of you I saw that were praying at times. Oh, I saw the concern. I heard them pray even without words because they were praying that you might be saved. That's what they were doing. Okay, my goal for you today is that you set your hearts to be like Job, to pray not only for your children that you don't have yet, but even for your friends. Okay? I'll turn you loose. Good to see everybody out today. We want to continue on with our service today. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart? We need to remember Sister Cheryl. She and Brother Chris both are having some medical problems, and we need to remember them in our prayers. Somebody else have a prayer request this morning? I understand Miss Faye's not doing as well also. We need to remember her in our prayers also. Anybody else got a prayer request? Lord help. Lord help. Let's do remember these lost grandchildren. Somebody else. I had somebody come through a while ago and they said, we're looking forward to VBS. It'll be here real quick, right? Our Vacation Bible School. And for some of those that's working, it's kind of like, oh, Lord. But for the kids, it's a time for them to come together and learn about the Lord. And that's what we want to be done. We want to teach them about Jesus is what we want to do during this week that's coming up here real quick. And just a couple weeks after that, our revival will be coming up. You see, all of these things will work together to see people saved. So let's keep that in mind today as we come together in this service. Anybody else got a prayer request? Yes, ma'am. Let's do remember all of our lost souls that comes in and out of this church. Some of them may not realize just yet that they're in that condition that they need to get saved. Let's pray that as soon as they realize that they're in that lost and undone condition, they'll start to pray right then and trust the Lord to the saving of their souls. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am. We do need to remember our military. One of the members at Hogan's Creek is in the National Guard, and he's been in Kuwait now for several months and still there. So let's do remember them. I guess that would be Lafayette and Carthage National Guard. So that's not too far away from us. We need to remember them. And as Sister Kendra said, we need to remember all of our troops. Let's remember our leaders, please. Somebody else. We're glad to see each and every one here today. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray during this service. And let's pray for these requests, especially for the lost. We need to especially remember them in our prayers. Let's ask the Lord to come in and help us today. Anybody else have a prayer request before we go? Understand. Let's do remember this child in our prayers. And just 8 year old, but we hear of that more and more, don't we? Let's pray for our young people. They're treated sometimes so harshly, and they're taught that their lives mean nothing sometimes. So let's do remember them. Somebody else. Let's do remember this family in our prayers. Somebody else. Let's remember this request. Somebody else. As I said, we'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Key, would you start our prayer, please?
Thank you. Let's continue our song and worship service. Number 226, He Wrote My Name. 226. sounded better all the time. 17, toward the front of the book, a Brumley song, I Just Steal Away and Pray. I hope that we all take advantage of that blessed privilege. Amen. To pray. Amen. To pray at our desk at work, to pray driving down the road, to pray in the morning and when we lay down to sleep. That's the most exalted privilege that I have, preacher. Yes. We'll do one more number, and I like this, and I'll ask our benevolent choir to stand while we sing number 130. I love this song, Oh, the Glory Did Roll.
Thank you, Brother Sam. We're thankful for the ones that sang in the choir. I will say this, anytime you want to come up here and help them out, come right ahead. We do not have practices, I'll say it that way, that each and every one knows exactly the right part, although sometimes I think that'd be good. But anybody that wishes to help out in singing, please come right ahead anytime. Amen. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart? It's good to see each and every one here today. As I said, we're glad to have our visitors with us. We thank you for coming to be with us. Some is second time. We're glad you're here. Glad everybody's here is the best way to say it. It's a privilege to be able to worship the Lord this morning. And I hope that we will truly try to worship the Lord. Anybody got anything on your heart, a word of testimony or something? As we said, last week's service was full of good testimonies. Follow the Lord. And probably the first thing that will come out of your into your mind is well, if I testify, it won't be that good. You never know who's listening to your testimony and to your words that it will really strike an accord with that person. Years ago, I was privileged for a lady to testify at a church we was pastoring. And she just basically said that she just told what happened to her about she got saved in the car because she had to get out of the house. And she said, I went to a car in the middle of summer and sat down in the car and started praying. Well, there was a young lady on the other side of the church house that heard her testimony. And that was, it just struck with her. That's what happened to me. She wasn't in a car, but she talked about how she felt. So don't worry about how pretty it sounds. Worry about whether it's God's words and that you're glorifying God. That's the main thing. It's good to see everyone today. If nobody has anything on your heart, turn over to the book of Psalms, the 106th chapter. This message came from seeing something it brought back one word, and then when I started studying, it's kind of gone a different direction. So bear with me today, and we don't know where this message needs to go, but I want us to all pay attention to God's word today. 106th chapter of the book of Psalms. Let me start off with a quick little story here. And it's not really a story, but an example. How many of you, and not wanting a show of hands, you've either ran into a close friend or you've been called by a close friend, and they're really excited. Hey, come over and listen to what I have found. Have you ever done that? Had somebody do you that way? I found something that's really great. And I want you to come and listen for just a little while. I've been caught up in that different times and even done that part at different times. Come over and take a look at this. You want to see this. I'm not doing a sales pitch, by the way. But when you got there, your friend introduced a man that started talking about doing something that was completely against what you've been taught in church and completely against what the Bible would say. And I'm going to give you a quick example. I'm worshiping Satan is what that individual says. And he has offered you many great things if you'll just fall down and worship him. I'm going to ask you something. How would you handle that situation? I might sit there for a little bit thinking, did he really say what I thought he said? But eventually I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I got to go. I want you to think about that kind of a situation today. Maybe it's not exactly a sales pitch or something like that, but maybe you've been invited to go somewhere to church or maybe to go somewhere and worship, and maybe it wasn't that extreme to say it was of Satan or the devil, but you've been introduced to something that wasn't scriptural. I'll say it that way. I'll call to your attention the scripture in the book of Galatians, Paul doing the speaking. He said, if any man bring another gospel unto you, which is not the gospel which I have brought unto you, have no part in it. And that's not an exact quote, but you'll find it in the first chapter of the book of Galatians, down towards the end of the that particular chapter. Now, listen to our reading lesson today. This is talking about the children of Israel and how that they had been given the promised land. Remember, they was supposed to run everybody out that was not the children of Israel, mainly the people of Canaan, the Canaanite people. In verse 34, it says, and they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. A snare is a trap, is what it is. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. Boy, that's an extreme, isn't it? And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and daughters. And if you thought that up to there, the sacrifice, they actually did shed their blood, the blood of their children, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Thus were they defiled with their own works. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord, therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. That's our reading lesson today, verses 34 through 40 for our reading lesson. Now, you might kind of look at this and you might say, where are you going with this, with what you said before? I want us to think about what we have a privilege in our church today. We have the truth of the gospel. Now, I realize that many people have the opinion that, well, one church is just as good as another. And I disagree with them. I listened just a little bit today, last night, to a man as he gave the differences from what the Bible teaches to another Christian organization, and I'm using that term. I'm not going to call them by name, but in this term of this Christian organization, the 10 differences, he said, first of all, they had a lady who came up with their doctrine, and he said her writings actually had more weight than the Bible does. Second of all, he said they did not believe in the eternity of a lost soul. They actually believed in the destruction of a sinner. In other words, once they die and they go into hell, they burn up and that's all there is. And that's not according to the scripture. Third thing is, they believe that that when a person dies, they go to sleep and they have no conscience at all until that the day of which the Lord comes back, and then they are brought up into heaven, and in their body they get to enjoy the joys of God. Until then, they are just asleep. There's nothing conscious about them. I'm going to ask, how in the world are they going to answer about in Luke, where it talks about the knowledge that the beggar had there in hell? I would ask of other ones in the book of Revelations, the consciousness of them. And I'll give you one quick one. When that the saints are asking the Lord, Lord, how much longer will it be until you say it's enough? That's paraphrasing, but you'll find that in the book of Revelation. Now, the other things I'm not going to get into by reason of time, but I want you to understand something today. The devil is at work today in this world. I think every one of us that is saved, we've got that opinion today. The devil is at work here in this world today. He tempts me. He tempts you. He tries his best to steal the glory away from God. And by him trying to steal the glory of God, one of the best ways that he can steal the glory of God from God by a saved individual is get them away from the Lord's church. That way they can just go out into the world and they can live like he wants them to do, in their own lust, in their own joys, in their own ways. They can do whatever they want to. If they need something to worship, he is able to provide many different gods into the world at this time. Now, that's been going on probably since the early time of man, when that men started to seek out other gods. They didn't want to worship the true God that we have today. Now, the devil is working, and if you think you're above the devil, I want to ask you something. Are you above Jesus today? Answer is no, we're not above Jesus. He is working on us just like he did with Jesus. In the book of Matthew, in the 4th chapter, we find after that Jesus was baptized that he went out into the wilderness, and there he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And in that time, while that he was there fasting, the devil, I believe, was on him. But we have the three final temptations found in the 4th chapter of the book of Matthew. But I want to just touch upon the last one that is brought up. And in the eighth verse of the 4th chapter, and the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. In this world today, we have the devil after us, and he is constantly bombarding us with temptations. He has these things just like he did with Jesus. He showed him all the nations of the earth. He showed him all the people of the earth. And he said, I'll give these unto you if you will just fall down and worship me. Now, in other words today, there are those that are out there that are saying that they're godly people, but the idea is they're not truly worshiping the Lord. They have bowed down to the devil himself. And what they have gained from that in their minds is the things of this world. I believe that there's individuals in the world today that are thinks that they have everything that they need here in this land. And because of that, they are worshiping the devil. They're not taking time out to actually worship God. I commend you for being in the house of the Lord today. I do. I want you to know It's where God wants you to be, is in the house of the Lord. But he desires for you to worship him as Jesus told the Samaritan woman to worship him in spirit and in truth. But he also wants you to understand that there are things out there, even in the term of worship, that you don't need in this life. I wish, if you would, to go with me over into Timothy, into the fourth chapter. And what it says here, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, you might say, well, really, what is he talking about here? There is a spirit in this world. The true Spirit of God is the spirit that we need to follow. But in 1 John, the 4th chapter, in the first verse, it says to try the spirit. For there are many spirits in this world. I understand today, because those spirits comes to me from time to time. Those spirits work on me and they say, well, if you do this, everything would be better. If you do that thing, the church would grow even faster. But there is no place for the false doctrines, the hypocrisies that it's talking about here. He said, in the latter days, he said, many will depart from the faith. Now, depart means to leave the faith. Now, I want you to think about something rather quickly this morning in the thinking of this scripture. I want you to think about departing from what you were taught before. Hey, just since I've been here now a little over 4 years, there's been individuals who grew up in this church. And in this church, they were saved, but they left it for something that seemed better, didn't they? They saw it as being something easier in their lives. Well, they're going to get out at a certain time. They're going to get out, and all I'll have to do is just go in, sit down, maybe sing a song or two with the congregation, and that's all I've got to do. Some friends of mine talk about a particular church in which I'll say 4 or 5 times bigger than this one, if not more. And it says, what they've said, it's become a stepping stone into modernism. And you might say, well, what's modernism? Anything that is contrary to the truth of God. Contrary to the truth of God. Contrary unto the truth of people truly being saved, being deceived, in other words. Those kinds of deceptions are out there. Now, as we continue to think on these scriptures today, let us look into 1 Corinthians and the 10th chapter, if you will. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 20, Paul writes, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils." Now, you might say, well, I don't want to have any fellowship with the devil either. When we go about in the world today, and I'm not saying don't enjoy the world, but if the world becomes more important to us than God and His worship, my friends, today, we better take account of it. For what He was saying unto them, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. We do not do the animal sacrifices. Lord help if we ever start to sacrifice in human beings. But I asked a friend of mine this years ago, I said, I'm going to give you an example. I think I've used it here before, but I want you to take this into heart. I asked him years ago, and I said, if you were walking through the woods, say hunting or something like that, and you came up on a rise, and you saw a group of people down there, and they were in some sort of a religious ceremony, and then you saw them take a small child and lay it up on a stone and then drew a knife to kill that child, what would you do? Well, that'd be a hard situation, wouldn't it? We would probably think, well, I'd step in. I'd tell them, no, they didn't need to do that. That's wrong. But my friends today, when we sacrifice our time that is God's time for the things of the world, are we not sacrificing ourselves for the devil? If you go back to our reading lesson, there were some harsh statements, you might say, in that. For he said, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they did sacrifice their sons and their daughters unto devils. Whoa, we're back to sacrificing again, aren't we? Oh, there's not a one of us in here that would ever sacrifice one of our children. Now, going back to my story about the devil worshipers going to sacrifice their children, I asked that preacher friend of mine, I said, what's the difference in somebody coming to a church and trying to deceive a soul? Or us going to a church? Well, they have a good service. They're pretty. They have songs that make me feel good. Their sermons make me feel good. And everything about it will make me better in the long run is their thinking. Remember what the devil offered Jesus. All of this will I give you if you will just bow down and worship me. If we leave the doctrine of the Lord and go into worshiping devils, are we not sacrificing our own children? That sounds a little harsh, don't it? Well, preacher, it won't hurt for them to go one time. It might not hurt one time, but they've been influenced, haven't they? Have you ever heard the statement that the drug addicts have? They say, oh, just take one little puff. It won't hurt a thing. Just take one little pill. It won't hurt a thing. Just take one thing of this drug. It won't hurt anything. But it does, doesn't it? And some people, they become addicted just that quick, don't they? Maybe you didn't. Maybe that person didn't. Maybe that person that you followed there, maybe they didn't see the harm. But my friends, today there is harm in listening to the devil. I want us to think very clearly today about these things. In verse 21 of the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we're going back to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Notice what he says. Ye cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and of the cup of the devil. Ye cannot be a partaker of the Lord's table and the table of the devil. What is he talking about there? Well, many people would say, well, he's talking about the Lord's Supper. In a sense, yes, he is. But the idea is this. You're not going to be able to live with the devil and then come to church and get a blessing. You can't do it. Oh, you might get that once in a while blessing. But if you really want to be blessed by God, go into his church and just enjoy his worship. And then when the doctrine of the devils comes along, refuse it. Refuse it. Preacher, it won't hurt a thing. If I remember right, there was a family. I'm not going to mention any. They allowed their child to go to a certain place for vacation Bible school. The child came home. Mama, Daddy, I got saved. Oh, really? Yeah. Really? Joined the church. Got baptized. Really? A few years later, she went up to Do-Re-Mi. Got under conviction and got saved. She called her parents, said, Mama, Daddy, I got saved tonight. I thought you was already saved. No, I wasn't. One time? Oh, two times would be all right. Three times might even get in there, be okay. But they'll come along, that little devil, and he'll get in there and he will bring about a sacrifice. Times today, and I think every one of us can verify this, the children lead more than the parents do. Well, Mom and Daddy, I went over there and they have a big time over there. They've got that music. It sounds like what I listen to on the radio or in my ears. It's that music. It sounds like that. I like it. The devil will lead you astray. And you have to be careful. As I said earlier, and I'm going to close out with this, Brother Sam. Let me turn over there and read that so I get it exactly right. Book of Galatians. Now you watch me get over here and it won't be it there. If I can get my pages turned right. Paul says in the 8th verse, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. In other words, Paul didn't want them to listen to him. He said even an angel. Now, that angel is a messenger. Not necessarily the demons of this world. Although I think many of them are demons. You say, well, how in the world can they talk about Christ the way they do? And it's all right for them, and they're not all right. Do you remember what the scripture said? I believe it's in the book of James. It said the devils believed. Yeah, the devils did believe in God. They know how to sugarcoat the gospel enough to deceive every one of us if we're not on our guard. Be careful is the idea of this message. I'm going to feel, Brother Sam, I'm going to close out with this again. But they were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and daughters unto the devil, unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. Brother Sam, that's going to be my message today. Be careful out there. That was a TV show. That was the way it started, always. Be careful out there. A lot of times we don't realize it. When we go into a store, we'll say Walmart, for example, that's where everybody goes, right? The devil's in there looking to sift you. He's looking to take you away from God. Or he may not take your soul if you're saved, but he'll steal every bit of the influence that you have. And he'll steal your children if you don't watch out. He will do that. While we stand and sing.
274.